Tonight, we're going to talk about daily steps for living by faith. Subtitle, Walking on the Water of the Impossible Every Day. There's a story of a eagle egg that was found and was placed under a chicken, and so that the chicken could hatch this eagle, which the chicken did. The egg hatched, and the eagle was born to a bunch of chickens. And so the eagle learned how to scratch and peck and do all the stuff that that chickens do. And he was fine in his barnyard there, just scratching away with all the other chickens. Then one day, this shadow came over the barnyard, and all the chickens begin to scatter. All the hens begin to call their brood to themselves and to cover them with their feathers, with their wings. And then there was a screech in the air as that eagle flew over the barnyard. But the eaglet, who by now was a young eagle, heard that sound, and it struck something deep inside of them and called that eagle to itself. There's another story about a lion cub that was found very, very young and was found by a sheep herder. And so the lion was brought into the fold with the sheep and began to live like a sheep. And it would eat grass and all that kind of stuff, and grew up among the sheep. And as far as it was concerned, it was a sheep. Then one day, across the river, this group of lions were over there, and the sheep saw those lions and began to run. And this lion also began to run. But then the lion, the main lion on the other side, began to roar. And when that lion heard that roar, again, like the eagle, it spoke to him and called him to who he was as a lion, not a sheep. As an eagle, not a chicken. Well, I hope that what I share with you tonight will touch that part of you and call you to yourself in who you are as a Christian that walks by faith. As a Christian that walks by faith. Because the Spirit of the living God lives inside of each one of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All of God was in Christ, and all of Christ is in you, and you are complete in Him. So tonight, as we go through this, I want to call to that self of you, of who you are in Christ, and call that forth tonight. Because you're not just a Christian scratching around in the barnyard of life. You are not just a sheep scratching around and doing what sheep do. No, you are called to be something else, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. And so tonight, I want us to talk about what it means to walk on the water of the impossible every day. Because that's what God has called us to. walking on that water of the impossible until every impossible becomes the possible. Till every the impossible becomes what God has called it to be and what we have called it to be. In Matthew 14 is the story of Jesus and the disciples. They had just finished feeding the 5,000. Jesus had prayed over the bread and the fish, and the disciples begin to distribute it, and it fed over 5,000 men, not including women and children. So at the end of that time, Jesus sent his disciples away to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he sent away the crowd, and they went up into the mountain to pray. And it was evening. And it says, and when evening had come, this is in Mark 14, verse 23, and when evening was come, he was there alone. So now when we think of evening, you know, it doesn't give a specific time, but let's just say 6 o'clock. You know, most of us would consider evening around 6 o'clock. So around 6 o'clock, he's there by himself, having spent some time in prayer. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. Now remember, the Sea of Galilee is not very big. It's like 4 miles across, 9 miles in length, comparatively small. So the ship was in the midst of the sea. So it had gone about 2 miles. Or if it was going the lengthwise, maybe it had gone about 5.5 miles. It was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Jesus went forth, walking on the sea. Now notice that it says it was the fourth watch of the night. What is the fourth watch of the night? It's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. So here, the disciples have been fighting and fighting and fighting these challenges for over 10, somewhere between 10 and 12 hours. Here are the disciples. They're in the midst of the sea, having spent about 10 or 12 hours out there battling the wind, battling the waves. And it says that Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, it says, and they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Now, the disciples must have found that very interesting. It's like, we have been out here for 10 or 12 hours fighting, and you say, be of good cheer. The wind is still boisterous. The waves are still crashing all around them. The wind is still contrary to them. And he says, be of good cheer, for it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And Jesus had no other choice but to say, come. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He was walking in that place of the impossible. In terms of the natural, as we all know, it is impossible to walk on water. Now, there's been times where I have been, fishing or something like that, where I've by a lake, and you see these little bugs that can land on the water. There's, there's some kind of water bug. Anyway, they've got little pads on the bottom of their feet, and they can land right on the water and scoot across the water. Now, we don't have that luxury, right? They can stand on top of that resistance in the water. But for us, it is impossible to walk on the water. But here, Jesus has called Peter to come. Peter, keeping his eyes on Jesus, was able to get out of the boat and walk in the impossible. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. In other words, he was focused on Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So we see that he began to see the circumstances going on around him, and he began to think, "Wait a second, it is impossible for me to be doing this." And he focused not on now Jesus, but he began to focus on the things going on around him. The sea, the waves, the wind, and he became afraid. In other words, his faith became diluted, and he began to doubt. Jesus caught him by the hand, but then what happened was, the next verse, which I don't have on here, verse 32 says, "And when they were come into the ship." So Jesus didn't, we get the picture sometimes that Jesus picked Peter up and, carried him to the ship. I don't believe that's what happened. I think Jesus pulled him back up, got him to refocus, and then the two of them walked on the water back to the ship. So they were walking on the water of the impossible. And I tell you what, when you are walking in that way with whatever the impossibility is in your life today, when you are walking with Jesus, you can walk on that water of the impossible. And actually, the water of the impossible is more solid than the surface of the boat of fear, doubt, and unbelief. See, Jesus has called us as Christians to get out of that boat of fear, doubt, and unbelief, and to walk on the water, walk on the place of impossibility. That is the walk of faith. And what I'm trying to call out of you is to realize that we can't live our life in the natural. We can't live our life. Well, let me put it this way. If you can live your life without having to depend on Jesus, you are not living the kind of Christian life that God has called you to. If you can do it without him, why do you need him? There is no faith in that. God has called us to do, to be, to say the impossible in every aspect of our life. Whether it be a challenge that you're going through, whether it be a destiny that you're trying to reach, a goal you're trying to accomplish, something that you're trying to overcome in your life, it doesn't matter what it is. Walk on the place of impossibility. That's what God has called us to. And like I said, if you can do it yourself, you're not in that place of walking on that water of the impossible. There was a man who had been learning to live without doctors and medicines. He himself had already gone the time about 7 or 8 years without doctors. He had a son who was still pretty young, like around one or so at the time, and never took his doctor, his son to the doctor. The only time he had ever been to the doctor was when he was born. Never been to the doctor since, because this was a man and woman of faith, and they were believing for God to heal their children, just like they were standing on faith for their own healing, no matter what it was. So one time they decided to take a vacation, and they invited the man's mother to come along on this trip, this vacation. Well, they didn't have a whole lot of money back then, so all of them, the husband, the wife, the little baby, and the mother, all the mother of the man, all stayed in the same room. Well, early in the evening, the young child began to show symptoms of having a cold of some sort, doing some sniffling and breathing heavy and different things like that. And so the mother, mother-in-law, I'm going to use mother-in-law just to differentiate between the baby's mother and the man's mother. Anyway, the mother-in-law said, "Oh, I knew he was going to get sick." And the baby's father spoke up and said, "Look, he has been healed by the stripes of Jesus." Little boy's name, I'm going to give him the name Peter. Said, "Peter has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. He's going to be just fine." And so he spent some time with him, prayed over him. Wasn't very long before all the symptoms disappeared. Well, about 8 o'clock that night, after the baby was already had been sleeping, the baby woke up and again began to manifest and display symptoms of a sickness. And the mother-in-law said, "See, I told you he's sick." And again, he said, "No, he has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Peter has been healed by the stripes of Jesus." He picked him up, prayed over him, took authority over the sickness, spent some time walking with him and just praying in tongues, letting the anointing of God flood the little boy. And within a few minutes, half an hour or so, all the symptoms were gone. Put the boy back down. And about 2 hours later, the same thing happened. You know, now it's 10 o'clock at night. They'd already been in bed. And so the little boy starts making some sounds that there was a challenge. So the mother-in-law, who was, let me say grandmother, that sounds better. The grandmother, which was across the room. Now the room was all dark, right? So the grandmother across the room, "I told you he was sick." And he said, "No, he is not sick." And so he again took him up, he prayed over him, took authority over it, and prayed in tongues over him for a little while. And again, all the symptoms left, put him back down to sleep. Well, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the same thing began to happen. The little child woke up, and out of the corner of the room, "I told you he was going to be sick." So the man turned to his mother and said, "Satan, get thee behind me." She immediately shut up, took the baby and did the same thing, put the baby back down, and next morning the baby was fine. Well, their vacation continued, but he began to notice that his mother never said anything to him. So about 3 days later, he said, "Mom, why aren't you talking to me?" "You think I'm Satan." So anyway, he began to explain to her what the scripture said and so on. Anyway, but here was a man that was standing on what looked like the impossible against the odds of his mother, who was trying to go against him there. But he was standing in the impossible, believing what God's word has said. Let's look at a foundational understanding as we begin this journey in a daily steps for living by faith, for walking on the water. God's word is his bond with us. God said it, I believe it, and that's it. That settles it. It is over at that point. Many times in the scripture, I could have listed 10 or 12 scriptures here for this. God said that this is my word. I have said it, and I'm going to do it. We can therefore trust in his word completely. In Hebrews 6:18, it says, it is impossible for God to lie. If he said it, it will happen. In Numbers 23:19, it says that God is not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. No, if God said it, he meant it, and it will come to pass. So we can trust in his word completely, without a doubt. Therefore, we need to make his word the final authority of our lives. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Now that word, therefore, pure is really interesting, because what it means is describing the way that it became pure. It became pure because it was tried. In other words, the word was tried. It was put to the test and found pure. And we need to believe that and understand that, that every word of God is pure. Every word of God is tried and found solid, found pure. The scripture tells us in four different places, the just, those that are righteous. Remember, the word just or justified is exactly the same word that's also translated righteous. It says, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, that can have two different meanings to it. One is, and the way it's used in Romans and in Galatians, is that as we trust Jesus for what he has done for us, in other words, we accept his righteousness, then that means that we have everlasting life. But in Hebrews, it's used as a walking out then, as we have been made just, then we are to live or conduct our lives by faith. In other words, to trust what God has said, trust the word that he has given to us, and we can then depend on it. We are to live by that faith in what Jesus has said. In other words, walking in the impossible. Because many times when we look at what God's word has said to us, it seems impossible. Romans 14:23 has a very challenging statement in there when it says that whatever is not of faith is sin. So what we conduct our lives in, which is to be faith, as we walk through life, every aspect of life, we should be living it by faith, by trust in what God has said and what God has done, about trust in who we are in Christ Jesus. We have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer us who live, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we are to live by the faith of the Son of God, to live by faith. We have been crucified. We are dead to ourselves. We are dead to sin, and we live by faith in him. And of course, Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. And therefore, we are to seek him diligently. So we need to always be looking to that what God's word says, we can trust God's word, and therefore we can please God as we are acting our whole life in faith. There's one man that part of his, just his ministry, in the sense, not in the sense that it was his formal ministry, but his ministry, just as he was living out his life in Christ, was he would often pray for people, pray for healing, pray for deliverance, and that kind of thing. And so over the years, he had been doing this over and over, and he would, anytime he would see someone with a challenge, physical challenge, he would stop them and pray for them. And many, many times he saw healings taking place, and then that healing would result in an opportunity to teach them and to show them and encourage them of God's love for them. Well, one day he's driving his car down the street, and he sees this guy kind of limping down the street, obviously in a lot of pain. So his heart went out to him. He had compassion for him. So he decided, you know what, I'm going to stop and pray for this guy. So he pulled his car over, goes up to the guy, says, "Hey, man, what's going on?" He says, "What do you mean, what's going on?" He says, "Man, I see you limping. You look like you're in a lot of pain. I'd like to pray for you." He said, "You would, huh?" He says, "Yeah, I know that Jesus can heal you." So he opens up his coat, and in his belt is a gun. He says, "You believe Jesus can heal me? Either I get healed or you're dead." Talk about the walk of faith. He could have easily jumped back in the boat, said, "See ya, mister." But no, he said, "No problem. I know Jesus. I know he can heal you. What's going on?" Told him about his back and challenges going on with his back. So he began to pray for him, laid his hand on the guy's back, prayed, and said, "How you doing?" He says, "Wow, starting to feel better." And he said, "Why don't you do stuff you couldn't do before?" So he gets down, and he's bending all over, touching his toes, and he said, "Wow, this is amazing. How'd you do that?" And he began to tell him about Jesus. So, tell you what, that's walking on the water of the impossible. Jesus has called us to a lifestyle of living by faith on every word of God. So what does that daily lifestyle consist of? See, these are some daily lifestyle steps of faith. Ones we've heard, but I want us to hear them in a different way. This is not just let's do what we've always done. This is not just business as usual in terms of the things that we do every day in our life to draw closer to God, but it is a place. We need to see it as a place of faith. Are we really believing it? Sometimes we've done it so much. We've done it for years. We've read, Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 and Ephesians 1, and we've prayed the morning prayer, and we've, confessed our sins, but we've gotten so used to doing it that it is not a faith action anymore. It's just a ritual, a habit that we have gotten into. And so what I'm trying to say is by these particular items that we have listed here, think of them as ways of standing in faith for what God has done. Let's take example, confessing our sins frequently. What does the word say? It says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Or do you just rattle it off? Because if all we're doing is rattling it off and we don't believe that we have been forgiven, then it is so easy to start walking in letting our heart condemn us, because it's like well, yeah, I've confessed my sin, but you're not really believing that it's forgiven. And so your heart condemns you. And as a result, according to 1 John chapter 3, it's hard to believe God and to have your prayers answered because you're always doubting it. Has he really forgiven me? You know, I really blew it yesterday, and you're feeling guilty about it. Even though we know the scripture says there's therefore no condemnation, are we actually believing that we have been forgiven of that sin? And we are called to live unto righteousness minute by minute. Called to live unto righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. Says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Do we walk in righteousness, believing that we are dead to sin? That what Jesus has done for us, that we are dead to sin? So these are things that we don't just keep saying them, but believe and walk on the impossible, if necessary, of for what God has said for us. We need to have an early morning time with God so that we are fellowshipping with him, worshiping him, praising him, giving him thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father, to our Daddy, to our Abba. One man said it this way, there's lots of compound words of Jehovah this and Jehovah that, and we've learned that around here, and we trust God in who he said he is as Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and so on. But the one that is really great now in the New Testament is Jehovah Abba. Jehovah, our Daddy, because that's who he is to us. He is our Father. Yes, he's our healer. Yes, he's our provider. And yes, he's all these things to us. He's our shepherd. He's our Jehovah Shalom. But what really is important here in the New Testament is that he is our Abba, our Daddy, our Father, whom we can trust, who loves us with an everlasting love. So fellowship with him. We say our prayers, but say them with faith. You know, we've got our ABC morning prayers and these kind of things. Don't just recite them. Don't just read them off the paper, but believe them. Live in them. So as we say, you know, Father, good morning. I come before you right now. I thank you that you've forgiven me of my sins and so on. And then as we do the morning prayer, we loose into our life the will of God, the powers of God, the angels of God for ourselves, our families, our loved ones. I love doing it for my wife, Penny, and for our church and everybody. As we loose that, believe what God has said. Believe that when we pray that he is actually doing that. Walk in it. Trust in it. Expect it. Expect it. When we bind the evil one and all that he is trying to do from us and our families and our church and our loved ones, then believe that he has done it and that he is perfecting, that God is perfecting everything that concerns us. So believe these things, walk in them, expect them. So we learn to walk by faith. We may not see everything that's going on, but that's all right. We can walk in the impossible. Spending time in the Word, letting him give us wisdom and revelation and understanding from his Word. When we read his Word, look for places where we need to trust him. Places where we need to stand in faith. I don't see this in my life yet, Lord, but your word says, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you because your word is sure. We establish the kingdom of God in our homes and around us wherever we go. Well, believe it. When we have established the kingdom, expect there to be change around us. Expect the atmosphere around us to change in our home, in our business, in our school, whatever it might be that we're involved in. When we go to the store, expect there to be the kingdom of God around you. Don't just say the words, but then expect it. Look for it. When we speak the affirmations over our life, don't just say them because you've said them every day for the last 3, 4, 5, 10 years. Believe them. When it says, when we say, I have the, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Believe it. That I have the mind of Christ. Expect that day to see the mind of Christ exemplified in your life. When you speak Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 and all these scriptures that we speak over ourselves, believe what God has said in His Word. When we pray and or affirm in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart acceptable to Him. Expect that to be manifested in your life every day. As we have communion with Him. Now, communion, I want us to take it a level higher. There is communion in that we take the body and the blood of Jesus, and we use 1 Corinthians or whatever we might use, 1 Corinthians 11, and we receive His healing from the broken body, and we receive all that He has done for us through the blood, the forgiveness of our sin, and all the various things that He has done for us through the blood. But communion is that, but it's also more. In John chapter 6, verses 53 through 57, I think we heard that a little bit earlier today. Jesus said this, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Part of that is because in John chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. In 1 John chapter 1, John there, as he's thinking about Jesus, he says that, you know, life has been manifested to us, and we handled life. In other words, they were touching Jesus, who was life. And so when he says here, eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you don't, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwells in me, and I in him. So we see two things here. It's not just physically taking in the body of Jesus, taking in the blood of Jesus in terms of the physical elements that we take, but it is also taking him into our lives, embracing all that he is to us and for us, all that Jesus has done for us and who we are in him. It's taking all of that. And when we do that, we have life. We have his life, that Zoe life in us. And when we do that, we also dwell in him and he in us. There is a communion that takes place so that we are part of him and he is part of us. So when we take communion, we believe what it is that Jesus has done for us. As we have taken who he is into us, then we believe what he has done and we walk in that life and we walk in that communion in him, him dwelling in us and we dwelling in him. Pray in tongues. Target 1 hour of focused prayer and then continually throughout the day. What a wonderful way of staying in faith is to pray in tongues, to be speaking in tongues throughout your day. Acknowledge him in everything and pray about everything. These are all ways of, as we acknowledge him, as we see what our day is going to be like. I mean, Penny and I often say, thank you, Father, that you perfect everything that concerns us today. We acknowledge you in everything that we need to do, and we expect you to guide our path. And then stand in that. Expect it. As you're going about your day, as you're doing things that you had prayed about, then believe that God is right there perfecting those things, working them out, giving you wisdom and understanding of how to deliver what you need to deliver to whatever it is that you are doing. Acknowledge him and pray about everything. Watch your words. Speak from grace and speak in love and in truth. Our words need to come from grace. In other words, what Jesus has done for us. When you understand all that Jesus has done for us, we are living then in a way that we want to give that grace to others. In the same way that he has forgiven us, in the same way that he has delivered us, in the same way that he has met our needs, then we speak to others out of that grace in love and in truth. And we are to live as Jesus in the power of the Spirit. So as we go about our day, it's realizing the Spirit of the living God lives in us. And therefore, every situation that we come across is an opportunity for the power of God to be displayed in everything that we do. Live as Jesus in the power of the Spirit, knowing that we can do greater works than Jesus did. So that is walking on as a part of a daily lifestyle of faith. There was a man that began to have a challenge on his back, and it began to grow. It was like a pimple or whatever on his back. It began to grow and began to really get ugly. He chose not to go to doctors. He was standing on his faith in the Word of God, that God was his healer, that Jesus, he was healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so what he did was, he, instead of spending time trying to go to doctors and doing all this kind of stuff, he chose to envelop himself in the Word of God, to hear the Word, to read the Word, to speak the Word over his life. And he was walking in a walk of the impossible. And as he was walking that out over that year, there were times where it got excruciating, times where he was getting weaker and weaker, and it was like, he's like, no, God is my healer. Jesus, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and he kept walking it out. And in walking it out, that's where his faith then met him. And in his faith meeting the challenge, he was able to overcome that. But, you know, we all like the idea of a challenge coming, and we pray, we take authority over it, we pray, we do 10 affirmations, and it's gone. All right. You know, that's exciting. It is. It builds our faith. That's wonderful. But then there are times where the challenge comes, and we pray, and we believe, and we speak. The 10 affirmations becomes 100 affirmations, and then 500 affirmations. The challenge doesn't seem to be getting better. The challenge seems to be escalating. The pain gets greater, and we begin to wonder what's going on. And there can be times where that pain gets so intense, it's like you just don't know what else to do. Gotta do something. That is stepping out of the boat. That is the walk on the water of the impossible. When you look at the circumstances, when you look at the waves that are coming against you, the contrary waves that have been there for hours, when you look at the boisterous wind that just doesn't cease, and you say, Jesus is my healer. And I don't care what it takes. I am standing on this place of impossibility because I know that my God is my healer. And my God can make it happen. And so we just keep standing. We believe what God's word says, that he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to endure, but will provide a way of escape. And so we keep on standing. We keep on standing day after day, week after week, if necessary, month after month, year after year. And in doing so, that is the walk of faith on the water of the impossible. But he will. His word is true. He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. So we, I'm not sure exactly how this works, but there, as I've been thinking about this, Penny and I were talking about this yesterday, challenges tend to have a, if you think of it on a an AB or XY matrix, with the X being the intensity of a challenge and the Y coordinate being the time of the challenge. Many times challenges, they start small and begin to escalate. And it could be the pain, it could be the finances, whatever, begins to escalate. And there'll be a certain point. See, what you need to do is once that's starting on its up path, by the time it's even starting, what you should be doing is having the intensity of your walk of faith starting high and maintaining, because if you wait until the intensity of the challenge is up here and then you start bringing in the intensity of faith, it can delay the challenge diminishing and being overcome. But if at the beginning you start out at a high level of faith and intensity in your faith, then by the time the challenge is starting to grow, by then your faith is already at a place of overwhelming. You are already walking in the impossible, and it will many times cause it to be taken care of a lot quicker. Now, having said that, within that, there are all kinds of challenges and complications and different things that come into play there, but that's, from my experience, that generally seems to be how it works. So when you have a challenge, there are challenge-specific steps of faith. Choose a primary method to mark your line of faith, like the line in the sand. And so you have a primary method. Then you put into place your faith action plan. Faith without works is dead. So we put in a faith action plan. And we begin to do tactical affirmations related to the specific challenge. You know, my knee has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My heart has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory, whatever it might be. We walk through in faith. We walk it through in faith, not by sight. And that's kind of what I just described. We count it all joy. Count it all joy as you walk by faith, because perfection then is growing closer. Because as scripture says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, entire, lacking nothing. So as you allow the temptation or the challenge, the patience of that challenge to be complete, in other words, you stay trusting God, you stay on the water of faith, then that is drawing you that much closer to perfection and being entire, lacking nothing. Another place of walking by faith is in your destiny, what God has called you to be, the life that God has called you to lead. Remember, Ephesians 3:20 tells us that we need to expect to live in the impossibility of a destiny beyond ourselves, because God will do above and beyond all that we could ever ask, think, dream, all these kind of words. He will do that. So if you can fulfill what God has called you to do by yourself, it may not be what God has called you to do, because God's going to take you and bring you to a higher place where you have to depend on Him, where you have to walk in that place of impossibility. In Ephesians 2:10, we are told that God has given us, has ordained for us good works, which we are to walk in them. And so we are to walk out the good works, and we have to do that by faith, every step by faith. We do what the part that we can do, but God has to do the impossible. Let's talk for a minute about end time specific steps of faith. Watch and pray. We are told in Luke 21:36 to watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. Watch and pray so that you can overcome all the challenges and be presented before our Lord. Specifically, it says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And so I have some prayer things that you can pray as you are watching and praying, being aware and looking at what is going on. Again, these are faith steps. We believe that as we watch and pray, that it will have an effect on these end times. We trust God. We believe what He has said in His Word, that the faith, that the prayer of a righteous man is effective, is effectual, has effect, has a work that is accomplished. Number two, we are to occupy until Jesus returns. This is the parable of the talents, and Jesus, the man that has going away on a journey, tells them to occupy until He returns. And in that way, Jesus is telling us to occupy. In other words, keep doing the kingdom business, which we do by faith. We are also called to be ministers of reconciliation. We do that by faith, but it's something we are called to do in these end times. So we take steps of faith to minister to those around us, to see people come to reconciliation with the Father. And then we are to live out our holiness without spot and blameless, as we see the day drawing nigh. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," in other words, the end of the age, "what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening until the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." So we walk by faith in these ending days, in these things that God has called us to do. So, are we ready to be water walkers? Are we ready to walk by faith in the things that God has called us to do? Because like I said, the water of the impossible, the water that we're walking on, which seems impossible, is actually more solid than the surface of being in the boat of fear, doubt, and unbelief. So let's get out of that boat and get on the water of the impossible, believing what God's word has said and living it out and walking it out in our lives every day. This is not a once in a while when things get tough. This is a everyday experience of walking with Jesus, because he has put in us his Holy Spirit. We have Jesus in us. We have all of God in us. Let's let it out and let's walk by faith, trusting God's word as he has put it before us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.